This is the Gravy for the Brain podcast.
For over 10 years, and a lot of you will have known us as VoiceOver Pro. Mandy.com came after.
Yeah, what's all that about?
So basically,
so
what
one
happened,
day we were there with Voices Pro and Actors Pro, and all of a sudden Mandy came along. ¿Qué pasa?
So Blue Compass was the holding company for Voices Pro, Dancer Pro, Singer Pro, Casting Call Pro, which is what a lot of you will know us for. And the organisation was, in 2015, started to look to acquire Mandy.com. And Mandy.com was a platform that largely operated in the USA, but it was actually a British company. And Mandy herself was a lady who started up a book that enabled production producers to find crew for their productions. And then Blue Compass purchased Mandy.com. And because Blue Compass had an overarching reach out to the entertainment industry and supplying jobs to the entertainment industry, the problem we had was nobody connected our brand. So if you were on VoiceOver Pro, then lots of people didn't know that we had Film and TV Pro, Dancer Pro, Singer Pro. And what we wanted to do was to start to connect our brand and bring together our community, not just for one type of employee or recruitment for the entertainment industry, but to bring everybody together. And also to give us a brand identity. We had multiple brands, it was very difficult to manage, and we wanted to reach out further into the United States as well to start supplying opportunity and work for the entertainment industry, not just in the UK and not just over in the acting side, but we started to grow out the other recruitment sites, and that was for, as I said earlier, kids casting, singer, dancers, etc. And Mandy came about because we were looking for a name. We were looking for one name that kind of encompassed everything. And you try and do that for crew, dancers, singers, voiceover, and casting. So because we purchased Mandy, had a big footprint in the US, we felt like the Mandy Network meant something. And Mandy was a real person, and she wanted to help people connect and come together. And that's how the Mandy.com came along, or the Mandy Network.
Did you have to buy the domain name off the Colombians?
Yeah. We did talk about this a lot.
Some people shouldn't get that joke.
Yeah, so a lot of people will. We did talk about that a lot, and about the name, and actually we don't connect ourselves with that connotation. We connect ourselves with Mandy as a person who, as I said earlier, wanted to bring people together, help people find work, help people connect with each other, and that's what we're about. We're not just a jobs board, we're a community, we're networking, we have a news site, we do interviews, we do insight, we do content. And that's something that we want to grow out over the next few years. And we want to be a much better supplier, not just of jobs. It's not just about jobs, it's about connecting. In the same way that why we work with Gravy for the Brain is the same as these nights, doing event nights, doing insight, doing influencer work, trying to open up our community and our sector so that opportunity is there for everyone and not just a chosen few.
Cool. Okay, so we have a room full of voice artists. Sure. So what's the process from kind of beginning to end of the from getting jobs at your point of view to putting it on the site to people having a free profile or paid profile? How does the whole system work?
So we have a business development team who go out, and they are people from the industry. They're not just John, who was a salesman at Google. We've got Abigail, who used to be an actress, still does a bit of work. We have Dav, who used to work in production, who does the theatre side of things. And Abigail works on voices and the actor side. And we go out and we build relationships with employers. Because what we're trying to do is find the best opportunities for our members. And that's not about looking to just put jobs on for the sake of it. We reject up to 40% of our jobs. 40% of the jobs that come through to us every week, every day, are rejected.
On the voice side?
On the voice side. Well, it's overarching across all the sites, so if we were to split that down, it's probably about 5 to 10% of jobs that come through to the voice site are rejected. Because they're not paid properly, because they don't feel they are the employer, we can't recognise, we can't validate them, we don't know if they're scams. So unless we know the employer, unless it's built a relationship that we have built, we won't put it on. We also source jobs, and we take jobs that are onto the internet, we contact the employers, because all we're trying to do is make sure that we have access for all, that as we get as many voiceover jobs on the platform as we possibly can, but that they're the right jobs. And they're not always best paid, I know that. We know that. We can't control that.
You can control that.
We can work with the employers to try and control that, and we can try and get the rates out, we can work up, and we can work with the unions, but invariably, our platform originally started for Casting Call Pro was about taking opportunity for everybody so that people could get a show role. Yes, it's not fair, we totally understand that, but the opportunity for somebody who's coming out of a drama school, whether they're a voiceover artist or an actor or a dancer, etc., is really difficult for people to get experience. So although we would always try to source the best paid jobs, we can't reject jobs.
So why is it then that when...
Hang on, Joe, should we just establish what's actually going on with the company first, and then we'll do the Q&A in a minute? Is that okay? Prop it up then. We will open it to questions. Okay, we will.
Our business development guys go out and they try to build cohesive, long-term relationships with employers. And in doing so, we do this both in the UK, the US, and out in Europe. And we do that so that the jobs that we source are organic. They are specifically, not always, but sometimes specifically just leveraged to our site. And we do that because we're trying to, as I said initially, was trying to get the best opportunities for our members, for our voiceover members. We don't always get it right. I don't think any site gets it right. And I don't think Equity get it right. And we work with Equity, we work with all the unions to try and get the rates up. And we work very closely with Gravy for the Brain. But equally, we're trying to give opportunity for people, especially for those people that perhaps don't have the right show rule, that haven't got the experience that many of you will have.
Okay, so let's clear up a couple of things that maybe people do or don't know. What is the pricing structure for voiceover artists? What do they pay, and in terms of like subscriptions, sure. When do they pay it, and do you take commission from jobs, do you take commission from hirers? How does the payment system work?
So Mandy.com is based on a freebie model, so you can join, access all of the resources, so the guides, etc. You can have a free website, and you get 30 days free to access jobs. After those 30 days, it's £18 including VAT per month, and then if you want to pay annually, it's £120. And most of you will know that are on our site, we often do sales, we do flash sales, etc. The last one was for £90 a month, so we're constantly reviewing our pricing structure, and for that you're able to...
£90 a year?
£90 a month, yeah. No, we don't take any commission. We are simply from membership only. The reason why Blue Compass started, I think I said earlier, was the founder for Blue Compass, his sister became an actress, and she was in drama school, and she came out, and she found it really difficult to find an agent because she couldn't get credits. She found it really difficult to find work. She found it really difficult to access work, and she found it really difficult to get any form of show role, because she was just out of drama school. And her, Chris Timms, who's our founder, had a dating website. And she said, oh, imagine if you had a dating website for actors, that'd be amazing. So he was like, yeah, let's switch over from being a dating site, let's switch over to being a platform to give access to actors. And that's how we ended up with voiceovers as well. And we do opportunities as well. So we do that so that people can get work experience. And it's really popular. And we work with Equity to make sure that expenses, etc., are paid. But in terms of the jobs that come on our site, we also have a team of administrators, and their job is solely to ring up the employers that put jobs on our sites and make sure that they're real. And we do try to get the rates up, and we do, as I said, we work with Gravy for the Brain, and we review what we're doing. I'm not saying we always get it right, and we are a commercial organisation, but we take no commission. We are, by no stretch of the imagination, trying to leverage every pound of some of the organisations that are out there from our members. We take a flat fee, whether it's annual or monthly, and that's it. That's how we make our organisation.
Okay, so you don't do the idea of kind of like managed jobs or managed services where you would cast internally and charge the client for that?
We are not an agent. We are a job. We are fundamentally, we're a community, and we will be doing that more so in the future, events, etc. Influencers, which is why we started up Mandy News. Mandy News came about because we wanted to start to inform our members, talk to people in the industry that were working, that were successful, that were making a living, and give our members insight and access to that knowledge. which quite frankly, we weren't doing very well before. We had lots of guides, but we didn't have that insight. So go to Mandy News. Not saying sign up. If you're not signed up, I'm not telling you to sign up. But have a look at Mandy News. There's some great content. There's a great interviews on there.
Okay. So you don't charge a commission. It's a relatively low subscription point. You get 30 days free. Mm. What happens after the 30 days free to your profile?
Can so your profile's still running. You can put your voice reels on there. Obviously, once you pay, you can put more of your work onto the site. You get a free website. That's whether you pay or you don't pay. We have guides. There's a message board. You can access a service provider. So if you need somebody, you need equipment, you need to buy equipment, or you need somewhere to record, all of that's on our site. And that's free. That's part of your membership. So once you pay, you then access the jobs, and you can then add more of your show reels onto the site. But your profile remains there forever. We never switch them off unless you ask us to, and then you can be asked to be forgotten as well.
Okay. Mandy, I think globally is one of the, in terms of voice anyway, is one of the smaller global job sites. Probably not in terms of actors, it's much bigger on that on the casting side. But what would you say, before we sort of open it to the floor, what would you say sets you apart from, I don't want to mention the Voldemort company, but Voices 123 and Bodalgo and the other job sites out there?
I mean, look, from the entertainment industry and recruitment for the entertainment industry, also our USP is that we supply all roles. From voiceovers, I think one of the things that we do is we have somebody who's dedicated to going out, her name's Emily Mead, to going out and working with employers. We do that, and we have an administrator that administrates the site, so it administrates all the jobs. I think that we have a passion within our organisation. I'm the only person in our organisation, there's two of us, in our organisation that haven't come from the industry, whether that's voiceover, acting, dancing. In fact, I'm losing a member of staff at the end of this month, but she's going back to teaching dancing. We don't just recruit anyone, and there's a passion within my organisation. And I came a year, and I joined Mandy a year and a half ago. And when I joined the organisation, I came from the corporate world, I came from PR. And it's taught me so much, and the one thing it's taught me is access for all is the most important thing. And it's the one thing I'm really passionate about, because the one thing I find utterly frustrating that wasn't there in my last job, unless you were going for the CEO role, is that if I had a job, an opportunity within my organisation, I'd put it on Indeed, I would put it on LinkedIn, I would put it on Reed. In this industry, so many jobs are behind closed doors, and that's what we don't want, and that's what we want to be the voice of, and that's why we want to become influencers at Mandy. We want to start asking the difficult questions of the industry, and we genuinely are passionate. And it might seem like a load of old commercial waffle, but it's not. It's what we believe in.
Okay, cool. All right, let's do the Q&A. Who wants to go first? Does anybody have, like, Joe, you can if you want, would you like to ask a question about rates and about the how you see rates on Mandy or kind of what you were alluding to earlier on that you weren't on mic for before?
Speaking from the voiceover side of things, I'd like to think that I'm at a professional level now. However, your rates are not professional.
Sure.
And it really ticks me off, and I know it ticks a lot of other people off, that you permit this exacerbation of being, I don't want to use the word abused, but it is, because there's a certain rate that we all follow. So when we query it with Mandy, head office, we get the mantra back of, oh, it's in line with minimum wage. We are, all of us, at a certain skill level, whether we're beginners or not, we've gone through training, we've more than likely got our own home studios. These things cost thousands to sort of build, and our businesses cost a lot of money to bring on. So why is it that we, as skilled people, are being told that we actually are only worth minimum wage?
Sure. I mean, listen, I absolutely hear what you're saying, but we don't control the rates. We're there to offer opportunity. We do push back on employers. We have no control over the rates that are placed on our site. But it's that or the jobs are not there. So it's that or nothing. And we tried. We have, of course. We work very closely with Brain for the Brain. We try.
Talking about the rate guide, yeah.
Yeah, on the rate guide, sorry, yeah. We try very hard to get employers to raise their rates. But once they've set their rate invariably, and we do, if you think that a lot of the jobs that go on our site, whether that's for the voiceover and for actors and for the crew site, we push rates up. But often we're hit with a wall, and that doesn't mean we have no influence. All we can do is either not put the job on or put the job on.
How about not putting the job on then?
We could do that, but then there are other people that will still do that work and want that experience. You're an experienced voiceover artist. And so your expectation of your rate is very high. But if you're a graduate coming out of university, actually you just want some credits.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's the right way for it to be. If I could change it, I would. But at this stage in our development, that's where we're at. And the whole point of this site, right from the beginning, was to enable people coming out of university to at least get some work.
I think what you're talking about, though, are actors, and actors are known to take low-paid jobs or even work for free.
It was for all of them. It was for dancers and singers.
So we're being coupled in with cruise ships and dancers and all the rest of it.
Surely.
Hang on, one at a time. Hang on, wait a minute.
There are a lot of us here who are asking questions.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I think the rates thing is obviously very poignant.
Yes.
And I think one of the issues that people have with rates is that there are obviously companies like Fiverr that are setting the very, very bottom base level of, you know, $5, $10. And what seems to have happened is that capitalism takes over and there is then everything in between.
Mm.
So I guess before I hand it over to the floor for more questions, is from my point of view, looking at Mandy, do you think there is room in the future to change your model to perhaps put some kind of stop guard in to say, okay, we're not going to set rates, but for all the people who want to come and employ, they have to go through a process of education, perhaps, of these are what the standard rates are?
Sure, and we do that. I mean, we do that now, but as I said earlier, we do, and absolutely want to do more of that, but as I said earlier, we hit massive walls with the employers. They just block us and they don't listen in the way that you perhaps maybe feel like we don't listen as a sector in terms of the jobs board. They don't listen to us, and that's why I have a team of administrators there, and they spend their days on the email, on telephone calls, chasing. I have a list of jobs waiting, and these are jobs that I can't put on my site because I can't get hold of the employer, because they won't discuss the rate, because they won't discuss the working conditions. And as I said earlier, we work very closely with the unions, and often they're not even that helpful. And that's because they're hitting a wall with the industry and the sector. And that's not saying it's fair, and it's not saying how we want it, but all we can do is try and help. If we can work closer with Greg for the Brain and use their rate guide, have that on our site, push that with our employees so that they're communicating that clearer, making sure that we're speaking the same language. It's not to say it's going to change, but hopefully we'll get somewhere in the future. But we're not going to stop posting those jobs, because there are lots of people out there that need that work to try and build up their showrooms, and I'm not saying that's fair.
Okay, so let me, there's someone around the back who wanted another question. We'll see if we can get through some of them. Is it David, did you want to?
Yes, I do. Sure. I've got two questions, actually. First, Mandy, is the fact that I am an actor, also a voice actor and things like that. Now, when I first joined Mandy, which was then Voices Pro and all of those sorts of things, I got the things that I was getting were just student films and things like that, so there was no point in spending the large amount of money that I had to spend to be on that thing. Now I am on Mandy Voices. I want to know why I can't, but I'm still, the actor side of it is still sending me stuff, but they won't let me do it unless I upgrade. Upgrade to what? I'm an actor. I'm all things. So why do I have to have two subscriptions to one site? That's the big thing that I had that caused me a problem.
Okay, well, that's an interesting question. Oops, sorry. That's an interesting question, is it? So you've amalgamated into one site and there are still separate subscriptions for different areas, is that right?
Sure. So we have talked about bundling, so membership bundling, but we only rebranded a year ago, and we didn't really rebrand in the way that we should have done, because a lot of our members didn't even know we'd changed our name. And so we're going through a process at the moment where we are employed a PR company, you will have all got a survey, I hope you've all filled it out, so that we can start understanding our customer voice. And in that, they are the things that are going to happen where we start to change our models. I'm not going to say it's going to change tomorrow, but we are a commercial business. We have people's salaries to pay, and we have always been separate brands, which is why there has been a payment plan for separate payment plans for each of the services. That's not to say that it will stay like that forever. I can't talk about what's going to happen because we haven't actually built those strategies yet. But we do recognise that as we come together as a global platform, and the more that we promote that global platform, we'll have to look at our membership structure.
And also, I think we have to give kudos to Susie for coming and actually listening to what you all say. There was another question around the back. Sorry, I'm just going to run around here. Second. Hi, here we go.
Can I just say about Mandy, I sort of submitted myself for a job that was like low paid, and anyway, I ended up negotiating a fee and it got higher. So thanks to you, and that's what I'm saying, for having that job on your site, I wouldn't have known about it.
Sure.
And I ended up sort of emailing and going, oh, well, actually, I think I can offer this. And they were like, okay, let's negotiate a price. Something that ended up being like £60 ended up being £300.
Yeah.
And that was for you. So thank you. For
I know, I really appreciate that.
Might criticise.
You should come and work for
your side. But it's not about you, it's about the business people. And I think anyone's going to take the piss.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, anybody.
Yeah.
And it's not about you, it's about, say if I had a job and I'm like, oh, actually, that person's going to take it for that much. I'm going to get that out of them. And you're the middle person. It's not about you.
Sure. And
at all.
Thank you for that.
It's about them. And it's about going to them. So people may come to these sites, whichever one it is, and criticise them. At the end of the day, it's not about that.
And it is really hard. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. They don't want to listen. And maybe if they see your brilliance as an individual, then they'll listen. But when they talk to us, and they talk to my administrators and even my business development executives who are managers who go out there, and they're constantly, they're at events, we do CV surgeries, we connect with the casting directors, whether they're for voice or acting or dancing or whatever. And often we talk about rates, and we talk about access for all, and we talk about diversity, and unfortunately not everyone wants to have that conversation because it's easier to go down the route that everyone's used to.
We have another question at the back here from Mandy.
Hi Susie, I'm Mandy. I'm a member of Mandy Voices and also of Mandy Actors, and I've made both of them pay for me. I don't tend to go for any of the lower paid stuff, but sure. I've had some really quite well paid and managed to turn them into repeat customers. And I really appreciate that you've connected me with that, and I just don't go over the lower end. And I do see a lot of low end. I saw one today for £9 an hour for a Welsh voiceover, which I thought was, is that minimum wage?
Yeah.
Almost. But
just about.
But one thing that would be very useful is, as somebody who auditions, I might see a job at £150. I might put an audition in. I'd love to be able to up my bid and say, if you want me, this is the price. And negotiate and have a feedback, or maybe a form of feedback on the website, so I can submit my audition and say, but this is what I'd like to feedback, and say I'm happy to do it if you pay me £250 or whatever my fee is. In my message, but I can't change my bid, if you see what I mean.
Sure.
I'm bidding out there. No, you're right, and that's a good example.
Okay, more questions, please. Unless you've got a feedback from that. Yes, hi.
Hi. So I have an original question, but I also kind of have a response to the bid thing. And my simple sort of thought to that was, I think that opens up the world of a sort of undercutting, where I think that gives them the hirer the opportunity to then go, oh, well, he was better, but he's charging £50 more. She was not as good, but £50 less. I think that undercutting is something that, just from reading the profiles, going on the Facebook pages, I'm really new to this, but I've seen quite a lot of discussion about the idea of actors undercutting each other. You know, it's just like where they're actually so desperate to get the work that they'll actually give lower than the rate. And I think that actually feeds into the culture where rates are no longer stable or sort of anything to go by if every actor is just trying to get the job. And some actors can afford to do it cheaper than others.
I think you make a good point. And even in the commercial world, I've worked for organisations and in sectors where you look at architecture. I've never worked in architecture. My ex-partner is an architect, and their rates became biddable. And architecture's, it's not an industry, it's not a sector you would want to go into if you're trying to make money. It has to be a vocation.
But my original question is a really quick one, which is just: do you encourage the people who are casting, the casters? Don't know the word. To take a look at those pre-profiles as well, because obviously
absolutely yes. I mean, I do that a lot with. I do a lot of networking, etc. And so often I'll speak to a lot of producers, and they'll say, oh, you know, I need this, I need that. And I go, well, all you have to do is access our database. And it's that you can see, they can see everyone. There's not, we don't have, so that some of our competitors will, people who are paying go higher up in the list. We don't do that. So if you're looking, all you have to do is filter. If you're looking for a particular demographic, etc., that's all you have to do. So it's open.
I just want to comment, I completely agree with you. I think, and this is not about Mandy, this is about the industry in general, I think the idea of bidding for jobs is a fundamentally flawed one and we shouldn't be put through it. It's just not the right way to do it. They should either give a price for a job that people can go for or not, or there should be, I mean the problem is with the rate setting, it's now illegal, right, so you can't do it. Wouldn't it be nice? That whole Me Too hashtag, if there was something like hashtag VO stand together and everyone just went at the same kind of rate globally. I'm not saying that that's something we should do. Anyway, do we have any more questions? Yes, Bruce.
It's not so much a question. This is just I'm just going to read a post that was put on one of the American forums on Facebook earlier. This is a guy that uses Upwork, and he says he applies only to jobs in expert category, always quotes the GVAA rates. I seldom win them. But I love the proposal I gave to a guy in the UK who wants an expert voiceover for an explainer video, budget $30. And he's saying, don't ignore lowballers, educate them. Here's his proposal, and I'll read what he wrote. You won't find an expert for $30. Hear me out. I do voiceovers full time. I don't have a day job. I don't have a part-time job. I spent $15,000 building a proper recording studio in my basement. I spend $300 a month on coaching because this is my full-time job. I run my own business, which comes with its own costs. I'm an expert. And just like your mechanic or your electrician or any other pro that runs their own business and has special tools and training, I'm going to charge you $100 minimum because $30 jobs don't pay the bills. Anyone you find for $30 has to have a day job or at least a part-time job, and I guarantee they can't afford a proper studio and the sound quality that comes with it, or training. They might say they're an expert, but really, if you found a mechanic that charged you a third of the usual rate, had a day job and fixed your car in his own garage, would you believe him when he tells you he's an expert? I guess what I'm saying to you is, when you have clients that come to you and go, well, we've got a budget of £11 an hour for a Welsh voiceover, there's not many Welsh voiceovers. And to find a good one, you're not gonna get anyone for £11 an hour.
And we do say that, but the problem is that people do apply it. And
is it not your job to educate the client and
we
say,
we do try that, at these of course, budgets, that's exactly what I get. Said. That's exactly what I said, we do that with our business. That's why you have a business development team. We have members of our team going out there, talking to employers, educating or trying to educate employers. We have our administration team who do the same thing day in, day out. And that's all we can do is try to educate. We can't force the change. And we can only force a change if we collectively come together and say, we're not going to work for those rates. Nobody applies for those jobs. But it comes back to my original point was, it's access for all, and for us, if it means somebody gets a credit on their showreel and is able to build up their experience, then unfortunately it's a necessary evil.
Can you not have a system whereby if you post that job for £11 an hour, you're also putting a flag on it? You're also putting a flag on it and saying,
we have a low
the market acceptable rate for this job should be £250 an hour.
We rate things by low pay, so we do
and
rate
that way
things.
You can flag it up so that guys that are just getting into the industry can see that and go, £11 an hour, brilliant. Well, that's better than stacking shelves in Tesco.
Sure.
But it should be £250 an hour. Wow.
Sure, and, no, that's a really good point. We do rate by low pay and we rate by industry standard rates as well. But your point is very valid.
Well, I mean,
I'll give you my card after and I'd really like you to email me that because I can talk that through with the team.
Okay, let's move on. Last question, if anyone has one.
Well, I have one more for you.
Oh, hang on, you've just dropped someone here.
Sorry, that's okay.
Oh, I was just going to say, when's the next flash sale? Do you know when they...
There's one on now.
There's one on now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't, like, postpone it after my 30-day free trial.
Yeah, I can. I'll give you my card off.
Okay, so that was a very quick one. Let's run around back to you, David. Okay, last one, and then we'll wrap this up.
Hugh, thank you. It's not to do with the Mandy criticism or anything like that. But, no, it's all right. No, it's on. But we have in our industry this problem of sort of trying to sort of go from the top to the bottom into sort of reducing the rates. I've seen sort of comments on Facebook which have to do with about agents actually speaking to actors and say, look. They are wanting you to go down in your price. It's like an auction.
Sure.
And I was also sort of involved in a semi-auction when I applied for a job, and it was through wasn't through Mandy, but it was Voices of Pro. And that I went. It came from an agent up in Manchester, up in that way, and he had done that, and I sort of got the job as I thought, with my demo, and then it started to become an auction. He said, well, they want to sort of move the price up because they want to know what your price is for a year's of this and then in perpetuity. And I said, well, what are you talking about? I said, I thought there was this fee on it. No, but we want to do this and this. And it went on and on, and there was a huge auction as to see who was going to come up with the best price for in perpetuity, in for this, in for that. And so I have no idea, how do we control those people who are even agents dealing so badly with us actors?
I mean, look, again, it comes back to building relationships with those agents and building relationships with the casting directors. And look, we don't have a massive team. We're a team of 23 people. So we're a really small organisation. The majority of those people work in either business development or administration because of that exact reason, because we're trying to build a cohesive relationship so that the employers understand that actually there are people at the end of that email, there's a person at the end of the email who has, as you said earlier, that is a professional, but it's we don't control the relationship. Once you have a relationship with an employer, all we are is the connector. We just connect you guys together.
And don't forget that the voices.coms of this world restrict that relationship, and that's what we've all complained about in the past. So there is definitely some kudos to be given for the companies that aren't restricting the relationship between you and the employer.
And if you are using our services and an employer is treating you badly or they haven't paid you, come back to us, tell us, because we will not let them back on our site. As I said earlier, we block 30 to 40% of jobs every single day that come through our site. And we do that so that we're ethical, so that we're trying to do the right thing. And no, we don't always get it right. You're absolutely right.
Okay, let me ask one final question then. What do you see as the future of pay-to-play of the jobs industry and the voiceover world?
I think we have to give more back, and I think that's about insight, and it's about community, and it's about networking, and it's about enabling people to connect within our site at events, offering CV surgeries, offering engagement and insight. That's what I believe it is. I don't think it's just about a jobs board. When I first started, my CEO said to me, yeah, but aren't we just a jobs board? And I said, no, you're much more than that. If that's how you see yourself, then you may as well step away from the industry now. Because the people that do these types of operations properly, these types of services properly, are the people that actually give a damn. And the one thing that warned me about Blue Compass, what was Blue Compass, is now Mandy, when I started, was that actually it came from the right place, and it comes from the right relationship with the sector. And people actually do give a damn. I worked in a sector where people don't really care. They just want their salary at the end of the month.
All right. Well, listen, Susie's come. She's answered all your questions, very bravely, I might add. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Very nice to see you.
That was the Internet Radio Show from GravyForTheBrain.com. Don't forget to check out our other great podcasts.